The Public Safety Committee will come to order. Members, today we have two issues on our agenda. One is that we're going to have an informational hearing on a problem that's occurring in Duluth, but I'm not sure that it's unique to Duluth, so we'll have a broader discussion on the issue of synthetic drugs that this committee and other committees have examined over the years. And then the BCA will be providing a overview of criminal data information systems. So with that, members, if I could have a motion to approve the minutes of February 26th. Representative Neuberger makes that motion. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. 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 Opposed? That motion prevails. Representative Simonson, we don't have a bill, although that may be coming at some point if you can construct something that works, and I don't know if we could still do that this legislative session, but I think it's important for the, and you've convinced me that the committee should hear more about the issue of synthetic drugs, and I know you have several people that came down with you from Duluth to testify, so I'll just turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to hold this hearing today. As you said earlier, I don't think this is a Duluth unique problem or issue by any means, but the purpose today, what I wanted to convey to the members of the committee is that the significance of this problem continues to grow, and it continues to have an effect on communities in our state, including Duluth. And today is really just kind of giving you an opportunity to understand the scope of that problem. As the chair referenced, ultimately what I'd like to do is bring forward some legislation, albeit this session or next, that will take us in a direction to try to get this problem under control. Two bills have been signed into law over the past 2 years that have attempted to curb the surge in synthetic drugs and the harm it is causing our communities. And although this legislation has been signed into law in Minnesota, which you can make the point is tougher than federal law, there are still stores that continue to sell synthetic drugs, believing that their formulas are not covered by statute, and quite possibly that's true. So the question becomes, how do we resolve that? And the purpose of today's hearing is just to try to give you an understanding of the true impact that it has on communities. So I'll stop my comments, and I want to turn over to my first testifier, who is Christy Stokes, president of Duluth's Greater Downtown Council.
Ms. Stokes, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, it's Christy Stokes, president of the Greater Downtown Council. We focus on promotion and supporting development in Duluth downtown, and we're really the voice for the downtown business community. Since 2005, we have seen more than $350 million invested in our central business district, and another probably $120 million in projects are committed. During the past 8 years, we've made some tremendous improvements in our downtown, and the momentum has really continued to build. However, one business continues to impact our rate of success, and it tarnishes really the overall image of our downtown area. The sale of synthetic drugs from a storefront on our main street has meant really that neighboring businesses have suffered financially. The overall perception about safety in our downtown has been negatively impacted, and the environment has been less than appealing. As an example, we have a clean and safe team that focuses on hospitality issues as well as cleaning up the environment in our downtown. They've seen increases in the amount of litter and debris, no question, but they're doing other things that we never expected, and that is having to clean up vomit and urine from our streets. One member who was really just doing his job, he was watering flowers right on our main street, had been intimidated so much on a regular basis by some of the customers that are waiting in line at this store that he quit so he wouldn't have to deal with this on a daily basis for his job. Not only has this business put a black eye on the immediate neighborhood, it has really impacted people's perceptions about our entire downtown. We conduct an annual survey talking about what people think about Duluth's downtown area. And one of the open-ended questions really asks, what's the first thing you think of when you think of Duluth's downtown? Typically, those answers have been the variety of restaurants, the quality of restaurants in our downtown, the entertainment, the lake walk, the recreation that we offer. Last year, for the first time, many of those were overpowered by such comments as synthetic drugs, panhandling, vomit, and scary people. These are real things for us in our community, and it's a very difficult challenge. We as a community really like to be recognized nationally, but it's hard to be recognized for a business that really appears to be boldly trying to stay a step ahead of the law. Representative Simonson mentioned the past legislation. The broader legislation that was passed last year was a helpful step in the right direction, but it does not appear to be a lasting solution. We are thankful, really, for the support of the legislators that helped bring that forward and worked tirelessly. A public nuisance lawsuit that was also brought against that storefront has also been a step in the right direction, but we need more. It's just frustrating that one business can create just chaos, ill will, and resentment within our neighborhood. A neighboring business of this storefront has seen losses of about $1,000 a day. Some have closed their doors early because it gets too busy with the crowd from there. And others have just looked at more work online and trying to get their customer base that way. Lucky for us, really, many of the neighboring businesses in that community also are property owners. So they're invested. They want to stay in our downtown, and they want to stay committed. My fear is if they were not property owners, we would have blocks of vacant storefronts because of this business. We really don't want another community to have to deal with this to the extent that we have had to deal with it. And we're asking for any of your help in allowing us to make some changes. We really feel that we have a jewel of a downtown. Hopefully many of you know that and have been to our community. And we just want to continue to move forward and not move backward in our community. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Stokes. Do you have any suggestions for the committee? I mean, I appreciate the you detailing the problem.
That is a difficult one. There are steps I know that were taken to broaden the legislation. I think we really have some challenges there with someone who remains open. And so I think one of the biggest things for us is somehow having some enforcement that can allow a shop like that to be closed down.
Okay. Representative Simonson.
Thank you. My next testifier, if I could introduce, will be Gordon Ramsey, who is the police chief in the city of Duluth.
Chief Ramsey, it's an honor to have you. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and representatives. Thank you for this opportunity. I will make it brief. We continue to be kind of the ground zero for synthetics in Minnesota and actually in the nation. It is not just a Duluth problem. I receive calls from chiefs throughout the state and region frequently on issues about synthetics and problems that they're having with businesses selling it. The primary issues for us is the behavior that is coming out of the use of these drugs. In recent months, now this is just recent months, we've had individuals that have pulled their eyeballs out, they're chewing on their arms, they're pulling out their teeth. Last Friday, we received a call of a woman who was having a miscarriage, and when fire got there, they couldn't find her, and her friend said that she was running to the local synthetic shop to get more synthetic drugs. It is taking up more and more of our resources, both from police and fire and from the hospitals. You'll hear from the hospital shortly, but a doctor recently told me from the ICU unit at St. Mary's Hospital, they do not really go now without someone in their ICU unit that has been on synthetics that is requiring urgent care. Many of the individuals that are requiring that care also do not have insurance, so it's coming at a cost to the hospitals and the state as well. Our officers, we have to assign two officers to that general vicinity to be there before they're open and after they're open to ensure there are no problems. The second officers leave that area, we have 911 calls of disturbances and whatnot. This drug is going to be the future of drug use in this country. It's manufactured They now have drugs that can mimic the feelings of cocaine and methamphetamine, and you can almost pick the drug that you want. Major concern to the law enforcement community. The current case is in the hands of federal prosecutors right now, and they asked me not to talk about it because it is still pending. We also pursued a nuisance on the state nuisance law, requesting the judge an injunction to have the business shut down. Currently, that is pending litigation as well. So we continue to look for other avenues in addressing the issues associated with the synthetics, but we call it an epidemic for our young people. It's not uncommon to see parents with young children going into the business to buy these synthetic drugs as well. One of the things that we could that we would like to see is broadening the language of the statute to allow for ease in adding different types of chemicals into the statute and increasing the penalty for the sale. Also, the potential for knowingly selling substances that are not intended for human consumption. Obviously, these lines inside that business are for to buy the synthetic drugs to use in some fashion. So those are a few suggestions for the future as we try and work through this problem, and I thank you for the opportunity to come here today.
Chief, what, you know, isn't the problem, though, that the sellers of this product can simply change the ingredients rapidly, and then it's beyond this what we have included in statute as being illegal ingredients? I mean, isn't that part of the problem that you're facing or we're facing?
Mr. Chair, no doubt that is the major problem that is impacting the prosecution of these cases, because as quick as we can line up our case, the chemicals change, and then we're back to stage one.
Representative Lesh, did you have a question?
I do. It's tangentially related to that, Mr. Chair. When you look at the federal... felony Schedule 1 controlled substances, it lists methamphetamine or heroin, isomers of heroin, and the salts of isomers of heroin, and all it tries to get around the entire field of molecular changes that a chemist could use to just get it a step outside that, which causes problems. And I note in the bill passed last year, it authorized the Board of Pharmacy to use an expedited rulemaking process solely for the additional purpose of adding new substances if the Board of Pharmacy thinks there are no currently accepted medical uses. And it makes me a little nervous that we're treading on the boundaries of making things criminal, because essentially it makes it criminal. So what is related to Chair Paymar's question and mine, what is your long-term vision? If the next new fad drug is not something that is a particularized methamphetamine or barbiturate, if the next fad is something else, is your only option to listen to word on the street of what people are using to get high, and then ask the Board of Pharmacy to take a closer look at it? Is there any better way to do it than that?
Chief Ramsey.
Chair Paymar, Representative Lesh. You know, in speaking, I'll start out by referring to a conversation I had with an ER doc on this issue. He said these drugs are changing so quickly, they don't have any medical way of finding out what these drugs do, how they're ingested, the impacts. The doctors now at 2, 3 in the morning when they're tending to these patients are going to YouTube to determine how they're ingested, what potential long-term impacts there are. Not only is law enforcement struggling with what to do and how to get around, to protect our youth and our citizens and our business communities, the medical community is struggling with these very same issues. It is evolving right before our eyes. I wish I had the answer for that, but just when I think we have this issue licked, there is a new twist to this case. So I don't know the answer to that.
Representative Cornish.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, Chief, I thought that we had kind of fixed the problem before and gave the ability in rulemaking, or so they didn't have to come back through. They could add things to the schedule I don't see Mr. Weiberg here today. If he was here, maybe he could shed some light on that. He helped us with the bill. But the other question is, Chief, what kind of help are you getting from your prosecutor? Some prosecutors were failing to prosecute to the full extent because of the clarifications in the law or the vagueness, and some were really fired up about it. How is your prosecutor doing there, your city and county, as far as enforcing these or their ability to prosecute or their willingness?
Chief Ramsey.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cornish, our St. Louis County attorney has been very engaged. As I mentioned, this case is currently in the hands of federal prosecutors, and they have the feds have invested really a monumental amount of resources into this case involving a variety of different federal law enforcement agencies, and currently it is in their hands.
Mr. Cornish.
Mr. Chair, Chief, and the other part of the question is the problem we gave you, the authority to do the rulemaking on their own and add things to the schedule without coming back through the laborious process. Is the problem they can't do it fast enough to catch up, and by the time they do it, they got something else, or can anybody answer that that's with you?
Chief Ramsey.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cornish, currently, for instance, we are aware that a business has hired, as part of their purchases, they hire a chemist to keep track of what chemicals are, and this is what they say. So they're spending as much on determining what's in the material they're selling to keep one step ahead of the state law as much as we are.
Okay, thank you.
is Mark Rubin here to Representative Erickson?
Mr. Chair, Mark Rubin, I just learned, was sick and was unable to make it.
Okay, so the county attorney won't be here. Right. So let me ask you, Chief, I've got a couple more questions here, but let me ask you, maybe it was fortuitous about this committee hearing, but I was actually up in Duluth over the weekend. I was speaking at a conference in Two Harbors, and we decided to stay over the weekend, and we were going to have lunch, and we went to, there's a new restaurant, where the old jail is, was a block from the last, can I name the store that sells this stuff? The last place on earth. And I saw this whole thing happening right before my eyes that I had heard about. I mean, there were must have been 60, 70 people in line trying to get in there. And it was quite the scene. So I guess from a law enforcement perspective, I mean, I think you're asking us to do something that we may or may not be able to do. I mean, it sounds like Representative Cornish in the past, we've tried to give some authority to prohibit certain kinds of ingredients. But from a law enforcement perspective, we were watching it all. We're wondering why your officers, weren't tagging or citing some of the individuals there for loitering. I mean, because it really was a I could see how your average tourist, being a former Duluthian, I don't consider myself that, but how the average tourist might consider that to be a threatening environment. But, it was just sort of like the officers were just there observing the individuals going into the store and buying that. And I'm also just wondering, I don't know, just in terms of community policing, if you have worked with the owner, since this problem isn't going away, to try to have if people are buying that stuff there, it's legal, apparently, why are they all congregating there at one time in the day? I mean, I don't know, just you got a thorny problem up there. I just wonder if I suspect the downtown council and the mayor have tried to look at all of these different issues, but...
Mr. Chair, 2 years ago I had much more hair than I have right now. But in all seriousness, standing on the sidewalk, as long as they're not blocking traffic walking down the sidewalk, is not illegal. As in regards to trying to work with the business owner, we have tried everything. We have tried everything, including changing asking him to sell it out of the corner, back of a store, moving locations. The downtown council has tried to mediate some arrangements, all unsuccessfully.
Okay. Representative Ward was... Oh, okay, we got... Yeah, I lost. Where's Ward? Oh. Representative Ward, I'm sorry.
I'm short and sweet, Mr. Chair. It's hard to see. Mr. Chair, thank you. Chief, This is a problem just in Duluth or maybe big metro areas or whatever. I'm from Brainerd. We have, and Chief, I know you know this. I know the Duluth folks know this. We have a establishment in Brainerd that is doing the same exact thing. And Mr. Chair, I'm meeting with a couple of my chiefs today, and they have worked with the owner over and over and over. And he actually just recently, and I'm not going to say the establishment or the owner, but he recently had just been in court for this exact issue. And it's problematic. I remember receiving emails from Chief when you said people gouging their eyes out and biting themselves and mutilating their bodies. I heard my colleagues gasp. I have gotten emails from folks that have used synthetics and have begged me as a legislator to do something about this because of the horrendous medical issue that they went through in their lives and are continuing to go through in their lives, because it doesn't happen just once, right? It just doesn't happen once. It's an ongoing, chronic, could be chronic issue, medical issue. And please, Representative Ward, do something, and legislature, do something so that nobody else goes through this. And it's really, you know, as has been suggested, it's, you know, they tweak here, they tweak there, and the person in our community up there, you know, refuses. I mean, he just tweaks and keeps selling. And keep selling and keep selling. So my question is, you know, the stories that we hear, you know, the stories that we hear about people mutilating their bodies and, you know, going through horrendous physical conditions due to this, that's a story we've got to try to get out. That's a story we got to try to get out. And you know, we tried to do that. You know, we work with obesity through educating. We work with tobacco with educating. We work with alcohol with educating. And this is every bit as terrible, even more terrible, in my opinion. And why we're not using an educational piece, whether it be law enforcement or the courts or the legislature or whomever. And I don't know how we do that, Chief, but I just wanted to make that point, Mr. Chair, that, you know, this is something that, you know, we need to talk about. We need to let people know this is what people go through that are using these synthetics, and this is real, and these are real people. And it would be great if, you know, those folks themselves would, come on board and say, you know, here's, you know, do an ad, do a, you know, some kind of promotional thing on this. This is what will happen to you. You know, we do a lot of that. This is what will happen to you on other things, but I have never heard it on synthetics. So do you have any
Chief Rams?
Feedback on that? Is there any kind of a promotional kind of source going on? And I hesitate to call it promotional. Educational. Sure. Educational. Educational source.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we have we worked with the Department of Health earlier in 2012, and we were optimistic that the new state law that everybody in here helped us with and was very supportive, that would be an answer. And as we have found, I am not aware, and we track Moorhead, Brainerd, we've been tracking the problem areas around the state. We're not aware of a successful prosecution. Now, there's been plea agreements, but we are unaware of a successful prosecution yet on the new state law. Not to say there isn't, but not that we're aware of.
Which is, Mr. Chair, which is amazing.
Reward.
Which is amazing that there's not been a successful prosecution on this.
You know, I wonder if your comments, though, if it wouldn't be a good segue, so we have the last testifier here, because it's sort of germane to... Is it to the chief?
It's to you and to
please go ahead.
Representative Ward. I was watching television maybe 6 or 7 years ago in Idaho. I believe it was Idaho. They had an educational program about meth, which they took to all the schools and showed. And it was, I saw it, and it was really bad. This is your girlfriend now, and this is what she'll look like 3 years from now on meth. And it cut down the use of meth in Idaho tremendously. And maybe Representative Ward's idea about doing an education program like that would be something that we should, get a hold of what Idaho did and try to do the same thing here.
It's Good idea. We have several members that want to ask questions, but there's another testifier from Duluth. So, Chief, unless you have anything else you want to say, if you're not going back yet, are you?
I'll stay.
Okay. All right. The next testifier is Dr. Scott Wolf, and then we'll go back to members' questions, comments.
Chairman, my name is Dr. Scott Wolf. I'm a physician, been working in emergency medicine in Duluth for 25 years. Over the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen a sharp increase in the patient load of individuals suffering adverse effects from these substances. I don't know the answer of how or what to do about them, but I can assure you that the harmful effects we see in the emergency room are frequent and often dramatic. When the bath salts first hit our community several years ago, we would see several patients daily, and that's a gross underestimation, probably 2 to 3 patients each shift, who are extremely agitated and paranoid, requiring often high doses of sedatives to control their agitation, their fast heart rate, and other effects of the drugs. I have a vivid image in my memory, I wish I could share it with you if I had a video of it, which I don't, about a very handsome young man, 22-year-old guy. He was so agitated, he was just standing up, rigid by the bed, couldn't move, couldn't talk. He could be any one of our sons, you know. And these drugs make people sweat. He didn't have just drips of sweat coming off his nose. He had a steady stream, continual fluid coming off his nose. We have seen a number of cases when high doses of sedatives have not worked, and sometimes if people are so agitated to protect them and others, we've needed to chemically paralyze them and intubate them, put them on a ventilator. This requires intensive unit care, ICU care. The low ball estimate for that is 5,000 a day. It's more like 10 to 12,000 a day, I would expect. They can require days in intensive care and have complications, including renal failure. I suspect that if those marketing these substances had to pay for their health care rather than you or I, that their profit incentive would vanish. Attempts at restricting access to some of these drugs have been modestly effective. We haven't seen as many of the bath salts. We still see a lot of the synthetic marijuana, and I'm sure you're all aware that synthetic marijuana has nothing to do with marijuana that we all know. A conservative estimate is that we see 2 to 3 patients a day, and I'm seeing one patient a shift. I don't work nights anymore. We see more of this on nights. So easily probably 5 to 10 patients a day. I can relay several vignettes for you to highlight my point, but unfortunately Chief Ramsey stole my thunder. We had an individual brought in within the last week or two, brought in by the police. He was severely agitated. He was very aggressive. They had to control him with a taser. The officers told my partner that had the taser not been effective and the patient had lunged at them again, that they might have had to shoot the patient. That individual's second ER visit that week. We had another man so agitated just recently, he got angry at his teeth, and he pulled out his upper incisors, as Chief Ramsey had referred to him. My partner taking care of him said actually when he sobered up, he was quite a nice guy. He was an ordinary guy. He was very embarrassed, ashamed, and obviously remorseful. He wished he had his teeth. And then more dramatic was the individual dug his eye out with a fork, and I think he penetrated the other eye and is blind. Of course, not all cases are this dramatic. In the subset of the people we see using these substances, it is clear that it's harming them, it's harming their families, it's broken families apart, it's impacting their partners, spouses, parents, children, either directly through violence or through theft to support their habit. I drive by the shop every time I go to work. As others have mentioned, I can see 50, and at times I've estimated over 100 people lined up outside from all walks of life. People you wouldn't expect, people with their kids in strollers. My concern, it's a public health issue. My concern is for their health and well-being. Many of these people use the drugs as a legal means through which to get high. The drugs are advertised as being safe and legal. It's obvious to my partners and myself that they are not safe. It seems that some people are making a good profit over the sale of synthetics. A significant number are being harmed with spillover effects on the family and friends, and the rest of society is bearing the health care expense. One idea one of my partners had, we don't know what to do about this either, is what if you could hold the people selling these liable in civil court for the health care effects of these substances? We kind of fantasized about seeing an ad on TV, you know, have you or any of your family members ever been harmed from these substances? Call 1-800. Kind of the ploy that's been used by some of the civil rights groups against hate groups, and just kind of exhaust the financial resources some of these people have to make their profit. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for testimony. Specific questions for Mr. Wolf? Mr. Wolf?
Yes, Mr.
Representative Lash.
Well, unless we have someone who's going to be here from the Board of Pharmacy.
Do have a presentation by the BCA on the synthetic drugs. I don't know if that will help, but we don't have anyone from the Board of Pharmacy, so go up.
Well, in light of that, Mr. Chair, I'd ask of the doctor. Well, actually, before that, did we, under this bill last year, did we outsource the ability of this legislature to decide what's illegal? Do we outsource that to the Board of Pharmacy? Under House File 2508?
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair and members, the law prior to last year allowed the Board of Pharmacy to schedule drugs on their own schedules that are contained in rules. They have a statutory obligation to update the statutory schedules as well when they did that. So they've had that authority for years. What the legislation last year did was to give them expedited rulemaking authority by adding substances. So we extended their authority to put substances on the schedule with the caveat that they needed to come back to the legislature and notify us, and we needed to ratify any expedited scheduling that they did it while the legislature was not in session.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Mr. Diebel, so can they take a chemical that was completely off any of the schedules and place it on a schedule, like Schedule 1 of their own volition, without checking with us if they don't use the expedited rulemaking process?
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lesh, yes, and that's been an issue with county attorneys, because the rules, schedules that are in rules are much, until last year when they were synchronized, were much longer. They had many more substances than we had in the statutory schedules. And some county attorneys refused to prosecute cases where the substance was only listed in the rules. But there is a Court of Appeals decision that stated that a substance listed in the rule schedules is the basis for a criminal charge under Chapter 152.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just further evidence that we're grateful here at the legislature for hiring smart people who remember all that stuff. So thank you, Mr. Diebel. And here's my question, Mr. Chair, for the doctor. Can you get high off of cat urine?
Depends what the cat's been.
Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Chair, my question is, it makes me really nervous about what gets put in the schedules, because I understand there's a need for an expedited process. Testimony before from the chief has been people looking on YouTube to see the effects of what gets you high, since we're not going to do longitudinal studies over the health impacts of these individuals and what they're consuming. And there's all this stuff recently on the internet about the effects of cat urine, which may or may not be effective. But according to some studies I've seen, it actually does make a difference depending on certain circumstances. Would the Board of Pharmacy be able to put cats on the schedule?
I don't think that Mr. Wolf is. Do you want to take a shot at that?
I have no professional experience on the ingestion of cat urine.
This is not a joke question. You think it's out of left field? The fact is that the Board of Pharmacy has carte blanche to put items on there, and they don't need to check with us, and it doesn't come through this committee about the items that go on there, or whatever they're selling out of the last place on earth, doesn't necessarily have to come before this committee. And so we're doing reactionary lawmaking every time they come up with a new substance, and it makes me a little bit nervous about how that procedure happens. And if the doctor is familiar with the studies or the procedures which the Board of Pharmacy uses to get a particular chemical on that schedule, I'd be interested to know.
Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Chairman, some of those questions obviously would be best addressed by the Department of Pharmacy. But the representative is correct that these substances are changing so quickly, and it takes no time for a basement chemist to alter a molecule and change the drug. And it's like chasing your tail to keep up with it. I don't know the answer to that. It's an excellent question, and I agree with your, I guess, with what you suggest, that we're always one step behind the game, and trying and chasing that is fairly futile. It has not been effective thus far to outlaw each drug as it comes on the market, because then they'll just change it a month down the road. And I don't have the answer for that.
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair, members, I would add that in Chapter 152, Subdivision 7, there are definitions of what should be Schedule 1, Schedule 2, Schedule 3, and those are, for example, the Board of Pharmacy shall place a substance in Schedule 1 if it finds that the substance has a high potential for abuse, no currently accepted medical use in the U.S., and a lack of accepted safety for use under medical supervision. That's a break on their authority to schedule drugs. It perhaps just puts parameters for what they're supposed to use, but Representative Lesh is correct that there's no legislative oversight as to what they put on there and how they define those elements established by the legislature.
We have several members who have questions or comments. Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe this was partly answered by any of the folks from Duluth. I was just curious, let's talk about conditional use permits for the business and all the, if there's violations and that many violations, how, as a city, is it because they've been there so long, or I know that we work with folks when they have a continual problem with their business or in violation, after a while they aren't permitted to operate.
Representative Simonson or Chief Ramsey.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we have worked extensively with the City Attorney's Office, and none of those laws would apply that you're suggesting. We have looked at every angle on rezoning and permits, and there's just not an option.
Representative Shawn.
Well, I thank you to Luth for continuing to carry this torch, because this is a huge problem all over the country. And, you know, you do a Google search with synthetic drug Duluth, you get 155,000 results in the blink of an eye. And I think the most telling quote of this, and I'll dare say horrible human being that sells this stuff, says he makes no apologies for selling this product, a product that causes people to gouge out their eyes, to pull out their teeth, and they know exactly what they're doing. And you walk into one of these stores, and I had the fortune to sit in that chair in uniform about 2 years ago for synthetic marijuana, and we got the ball rolling, and I was pretty proud of that. But you go into the store and you see bath salts, but there's no soap, there's no bubble bath. They sell fish food, but there's no aquariums, there's no fish for sale. And it's businesses skirting the law. I mean, they sell smoking paraphernalia, that's a gas mask fashioned into a smoking device. We don't use that. We know what they're for, but we allow that to happen because we're afraid to regulate. We certainly do need to do better, and I really like that idea where the businesses are held liable for the health care. I don't know how far we're going to be able to push that, but we need to start thinking outside of the box on this and really get tough. And thank you for doing that.
Representative Kiefer.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. A lot has been said already. I agree with the education piece. That's what I was going to say before. I wondered if the doctor could tell us, when he sees patients, are there any repeats of the same patient coming in, or once they do this, they've really learned their lesson and stopped? And going with that, if that's the case, it would be great for those teens or young adults to be the spokesperson of why we shouldn't do this.
Dr. Wolf.
Both are true. I've seen people who have a one-time use and who are done. We've seen plenty of repeat performers. I do know one young gentleman that had a long-term substance abuse, and finally we saw him a lot for issues. Finally, his dad came in with him. I had a wonderful discussion with he and his father, and then I didn't see him again. This kid was losing weight. This kid was going to die. And I hadn't seen him for a long time after that, and I saw his dad was in for something else like 10 months later, and he said, thank you for the discussion. That finally helped. And he said he had about a 10-month or 12-month stint with these synthetics, but now he's off of those, and he's doing much better, gaining weight, looking good, like a young man should. And his father, it's been really devastating to their family. He did give me, and I did relay his name to our local authorities. He said he would go on board. And I think they would be willing to, he gave me the inclination at that time that they'd be willing to step up and say, yeah, this is what it's done for us. Because we've been looking for the same individuals that would help us out. I think that what the other representative was talking about was the effort with meth in Montana. I work in Montana also, sporadically. And big problem there, that was bankrolled, that education promotion was bankrolled by somebody from Minnesota who saw what it's doing here. I don't know the individual's name, but it has been very helpful.
Representative Uglum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, as a former Duluth resident, I am infinitely familiar with what you're going through there and everything else. My question is for the doctor. Doctor, you mentioned some of the cost for treating these individuals from to be $5,000 to $10,000 or more each individual case. Have there been any civil actions against the seller of these drugs with regard to the hospital trying to recover costs or insurance companies trying to recover the costs of the treatment for the sale of these horrible, horrible drugs?
Dr. Wolf.
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Mr. Chair? Yeah, I'm not an attorney, but I often look at some things, and we've tried to do this from the criminal perspective and had difficulties doing it. But oftentimes, the marketplace and civilly can have the same effect. And I think it might be an avenue that we could approach. Obviously, I don't know if this committee could do that, but the hospital may, insurance companies may, there's cost to the city and things like that, and pursuing that to discourage companies that do sell this type of product. Thank you.
Representative Cornish.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, I wish Representative Lesh would have stuck around, because I highly disagree with what he said about the legislation that was passed. It was good legislation, and it was a response to prosecutors and pharmacy and law enforcement. And what really disturbs me, Mr. Chair, and maybe you could help me with check this out, is that when you said that there wasn't any prosecutions to date on the new law, I want to make sure that we're not getting a Pontius Pilate deal here by the county attorney, where he's just washing his hands of it and saying it's a federal deal. And the cops, I don't think it's a cop problem. They'll enforce good laws. But there's some breakdown here if it's not getting prosecuted, and that's what I was wondering about before. So it'd be good to get the county attorney, Kingery, in here, John Kingery, and then maybe after he did a survey of the county attorneys, find out if they're are prosecuting this or not, or if they're scared of it and they're turning it over, because I certainly not going to be in favor of passing any more laws and add anything more to the schedule if they're not enforcing what they got now. And so it'd be interesting to find out where the breakdown is. If nobody's prosecuting this, why would the cops ever pick them up in the first place?
So maybe Ms. taken hold, so you can find out from the County Attorneys Association what's been going on, and we can report back at our next meeting. Representative Neuberger had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to echo a lot of what's been said today. These drugs are an EMS nightmare. When I'm at work, it's really difficult to determine patient care, especially with the synergistic effects when they're using other substances, especially methamphetamine or alcohol. I want to encourage this committee members here to address this issue, as Representative Simonson was saying, hopefully this session. I work down in the metro area, and I can tell you that waiting until next session, if we wait another year, more people are going to die. My question, I have a lot of ones I could just ask you privately, but we encounter this all the time. I think what the problem that we need to address is the semantics of all of this. If you look at the page 3, you know, these things are marketed as incense. And maybe perhaps the solution lies in owning the argument and owning the language. If I take Jack Daniels and pour it into a Play-Doh container, I can't sell it as Play-Doh. You know, even though. So I think if we could somehow get around the labeling and own the language of just because the package says it's incense, you and I both know it isn't. Perhaps that's an avenue that we could approach. But I will say this, firsthand experience, the board here is familiar with my background in EMS. It's quite extensive. That this is an issue that is absolutely devastating and needs to be addressed. I want to thank you for bringing it forward.
Mr. Dolish, you have a presentation on synthetic drugs. I'm wondering if do you have a presentation? And how long? I'm wondering if we shouldn't do that now instead of having what we actually asked you to come for, since you can maybe provide some additional background. Or Representative Simonson, do you have anything else you want to add? We have about 25 minutes left, but we have a BCA presentation on designer drugs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do think that we want to hear from the BCA specific to this issue. They are prepared to do that, so if you'll allow it, I think we'd like to hear that.
Okay, yeah, let's, Mr. Kingrey? You thought you were going to escape. I don't know if you're up for answering a question, but we did have a question the county attorneys about, we'll let Representative Cornish maybe ask the question. Sorry to put you on the spot, but that's what happens when you come to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Kingrey, speaking on behalf of the County Attorneys Association. I'd be happy to answer any questions, especially since I was about to leave for the Senate to discuss elections.
Okay. So Representative Cornish, well, we've been having a long discussion on synthetic drugs and the legislation that was passed last year, and apparently the inability or the lack of information about whether county attorneys throughout the state are actually prosecuting with that law. Representative Cornish, do you want to ask your question?
I'll lay a quick framework. You know, you're aware of the changes we made, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Kingrey, over the last couple of years on the synthetic drug. But what we heard was a kind of a disturbing, to me anyway, statement saying that he's not aware of any prosecutions under the new law. So before we would do anything else with the new law, we were wondering why this isn't being taken advantage of. And my worry is if the county attorneys are washing their hands and saying it's a federal issue, that scares me, because we can't even get the feds to prosecute gun crimes, much less drug crimes. So I want to put the tools in the cops' hands where they can actually do something. So could you tell us if there are or not any prosecutions and how successful this new legislation is or isn't?
Mr. Kingrey.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Cornish, a few weeks ago, House Research asked me that question, and I emailed two of our counties that have been most active in this area, St. Louis County, and I know you had the chief in here earlier out of Duluth discussing this. I heard a little bit of that testimony. And Winona County, a lot of activity down in Winona County with the college and so forth. They indicated, one, it's still a little early, but secondly, I think, as I heard earlier, this stuff is changing so rapidly that as soon as they try to go after someone, it's got some different molecule in that compound. And that's why I think in discussion with some of you last year, I said, you know what, we're going to be back here every year tweaking this thing. And when I look at the list of molecules on there, I can't spell them, let alone try to pronounce them. But and I know you gave the Board of Pharmacy a rulemaking authority, and I believe that is probably the emergency rulemaking authority, and I think that's the best way to try to stay on top of this issue because it's rapidly developing. It develops just overnight sometimes. And the challenge is, again, it changes, and so I don't have any numbers, but I believe there are not many prosecutions, especially with the newer stuff. I believe it has clamped down on the synthetic marijuana, which you passed last year and made, I believe, a gross and a felony, if I recall. I believe that part has been shut down, but the synthetic drug issue has been remains to be a challenge.
So,
that's good.
Thank you, Mr. Kingery. Mr. Dolish, do you want to? You have a presentation for us. Maybe this might be helpful. Thank you, Representative Erickson. You want to just, I don't know if your folks want to hang here. Okay. Oh, Simonson. I'm sorry. What did I say? Erickson?
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Chairman Paymar, my name is Frank Dolish. I'm the director of the BCA Laboratory. I brought with me this morning my chief scientist in charge of the drug section because she really knows at least what we're seeing in terms of drugs coming in and with the synthetics. And she has a presentation. We can make this as long or short as we need to. Some of it gets to be a little bit technical, but I want to make the point that this is all, it is pretty technical. And in response to an earlier question, I think that the issue is that we did see a drop, and Violet Stevens, who will be doing the presentation, can tell you that we did see a drop in the synthetics that we did cover last year. So we weren't seeing as many of those, but what's happened is that they've now come up with compounds that, even with all the strategies that we had regarding analogs and class types of drugs, fall outside of those definitions, and now they're putting those compounds in these products. And I'll have her do the presentation. If you have questions, we'll field them if it's okay with you when she's done with the presentation.
Very good. Ms. Stevens, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, representatives. My name is Violet Stevens, as Mr. Dolish mentioned, and I'm the technical leader for the drug section for the laboratory, both in St. Paul and Bemidji. My presentation this morning will center mostly on the synthetic cannabinoids, and I will touch on what we have seen and some emerging trends. They are sold as spice and K2. They can be sprayed. They're sprayed on plant material, or they are soaked. The active ingredient is soaked in the plant material, and it's laid out to dry. And we have seen this compound in powder, but more often than not, it is seen on plant material. We don't know, or the people who are buying these compounds, they don't know what's in it. There is variability from label to label, and from brand to brand. So someone who buys a product that's labeled as spice one day may have one compound in it, and they experience a good feeling, and they go back to buy a something that's packaged, the same package, the same label, expecting this experience, but they get a horrible experience. And that is due in part to the fact that what's in it today may not be in it the next time they go and buy these products. The history of Sincan is in your packet. Just want to point out that John W. Hoffman, he is the scientist or the professor from Clemson University who developed the cannabinoid compounds, and hence the name JWH, which stands for his initial, John W. Hoffman. And he developed these compounds for their analgesic properties. The same can be said for Alexandros Makrianis, hence AM. He is the one that developed the AM products, such as AM2201. Here is a timeline of the emergence of these products. We go from the isolation of THC in 1964 to the isolation and discovery of the CB1 receptor, and these are the receptors in the brain that's responsible for the euphoric feeling that one gets, and that feeling can be associated with THC. With Mr. Hoffman's research, he tried to the compounds that he came up with, he tried to see if the affinity of these compounds for these sites in the brain, the CB1 receptor. That was part of his research, and another part is measuring the potency of these compounds and comparing that to THC. We saw that in 2004, these compounds were sold as K2 on the internet. In 2009, the European countries began controlling these compounds. And in 2010, the states passed legislation controlling these compounds. And in 2011, the DEA temporarily scheduled some of these compounds. I just want to emphasize that although, and Dr. Wolf touched on this, that although these are called synthetic cannabinoids, they are not related to THC. That receptor in the brain, the CB1 receptor, where this compound attach, the affinity, the high affinity for these receptors are defined as anything that's less than 100 nanomoles, and low affinity is defined as anything that's over 100 nanomoles. For example, THC has a affinity constant of 10.2 at these receptor sites. JWH018 has an affinity of 2.9, which is 3.5 times more potent than the THC. HU210 is as an affinity constant of 0.06, which is 170 times more potent. And AM2201, that has an affinity constant of 1, which is 10 times more potent than the experience, that euphoric experience one would get using the Delta-9 THC. So these should not be confused with naturally occurring THC.
Ms. Stevens, if you could hold on for 1 second. Representative Ward has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just real quick, Ms. Stevens, the previous slide, you said that Europe is controlling substances in 2009. Do you know, whatever they are doing, has that made a difference?
Ms. Stevens?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't know if that had made a difference for them. I can't answer that question.
Please continue.
Just wanted to point out that when the research started, Dr. Hoffman started his research, he was equating, trying to see how potent these were with compared to Delta-9 THC. Just want to point out that THC has a structure such as this in the middle, and as you can see from the rest of these structures, that they have the structure has no resemblance to THC. The research may have started out using THC, but as it progressed, the structures no longer look like THC. In 2011, we in Minnesota controlled 17 compounds. They were listed in the Minnesota Statute 152. When we in the lab analyzed a compound, and if it wasn't one of these compounds, then we couldn't report it because it was not controlled, which put us in a spot because. What happened was the illicit manufacturers would tweak a part of a molecule and change it, and it no longer looks like any of these compounds there, or it's not in the list that was controlled. So when we analyzed, we had no choice. If it was something different, we could not report it, or we could not identify it. Again, you know, the response was, you know, they quickly adapted and expanded the product to include more product that was not listed in the schedule. And an example of that is AM2201. This product is as a result of one of the products that was listed. This product was tweaked, and then they came up with a product as AM2201. So after the 2011 legislation passed, AM2201 is one of those that we saw a lot of because it was not controlled. So in 2012, the new law that was passed, rather than list the compounds separately, it placed them in different classes, which worked really great for most of these compounds because it closed up a lot of loopholes. And as long as the compound had these core structures, and if they change anything on these groups, as long as they have these core structures, they would fall in that class. So this was great. This was a great law. And again, because we were able to report more stuff and place them in classes. This slide represents that one drug I spoke of, AM2201, where before the 2012 legislation passed, we saw a lot of this drug. The items analyzed, and after the law was passed in 2012, it dropped dramatically. So the law did have some effect in catching drugs such as AM2201. This map represents the total number of cases that we've seen of synthetic cannabinoids since we started tracking them a couple of years ago. Again, after the 2012 legislation, the clandestine manufacturer's response was to, again, change the molecules so that they could come up with a new product. Now, when they change the molecule, it doesn't fit in any of the classes anymore because this is so different than what's listed in the statute. So now we have products such as XLR-11 and UR-144, which again doesn't fit in any of the classes. Before the the 2012 law was passed, we saw a small amount of XLR 11 and some UR 144. And after the law was passed, we saw more XLR 11 because these drugs are not controlled. And they, you know, they're basically not controlled. And we saw more of XLR 11 and more of UR 144. And we have been seeing a lot of those recently. Just this morning, I approved a case that was XLR 11 and UR 144. Again, since we started tracking these drugs a couple of years ago, this map shows where the counties in which we have received cases of XLR 11. And UR 144. Some other drugs that we have encountered at the laboratory is a drug called AKB 48 or Apinaca, which is a synthetic cannabinoid. And again, this drug is even different than the UR 144 XLR 11, and it doesn't fit in any of the classes that was controlled in 2012. Another one we have seen is 25I N-bome, which is a hallucinogen. And some emerging trends is this new drug that is PB22, which again is a synthetic cannabinoid, does not fit in any of the classes that we have listed in the 2012 statute. BB22, again, another synthetic cannabinoid, does not fit in any of the classes. And just, this is a relatively new one that I've heard of last week, is 8836339, which again is a synthetic cannabinoid, and the structure is so different it doesn't even fit in any of the classes that's controlled. The challenges to the BCA, these compounds are not easily identified. It's difficult to obtain standards and sources, reference sources to compare them to. And they are expensive. The cost is like 2 to 3, if not more, than routine drug standard that we would buy. For example, methamphetamine, the cost of 10 milligrams of that is $58, which 5 milligrams would be about $29, whereas a drug like 25I N-bome, 5 milligrams of that is over $285. And that pretty much concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Stevens. Representative Schoen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think maybe you kind of answered part of it. You guys are, I just want to know how equipped and ready and challenges. I recognize you answered some of the, that there were challenges, and then, but about equipped and readiness, where do you stand, Mr. Pajewski?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, in terms of equipment, we're that's not as much of an issue is that trying to deal with all of these on top of some other issues that we're dealing with, the increased caseload after the closing of the St. Paul lab, are a challenge for us. And I think that you may or may not be aware, we do public safety, and BCA does have an initiative in our current budget to increase our staff in that area, as well as supplement our equipment in that area. It's also a challenge for us in the toxicology area, where they want to know whether people are driving under the influence of these compounds, and identifying them in the drug lab in comparison is easy, because now if you're looking at blood or urine or biological samples, you're not only dealing with the parent drug but metabolites, and there's almost no research on on what those compounds might be. And so we've been putting a lot of effort in our toxicology area in trying to research that. You're trying to do that while you're trying to do a regular caseload, which is a challenge for us. If I might, somebody asked about the rulemaking, and I know Dr. Weinberg isn't here. We did have a discussion about that, and so it's probably better for you to get this firsthand from him. But I understand with the expedited rulemaking process that was put in place last year, two things. First of all, they have to be able to show that the compound is creating harm. And so, they have to have a process to be able to do that before they can put it on the schedule. And the second thing with this, as I recall in this particular bill, that the expediting rulemaking process, because of concerns of some legislators, will sunset after a few years. So just a couple of things that you might want to think about. And I think that it's probably best to have him, Dr. Weinberg, provide more information about that. I also understand that they started dealing with these when we first started seeing them, and about that same time they ran into some issues with contaminated steroids, and they had to work with the feds on those issues where people were dying because of that, where they were being given those in clinics. And so again, it's a big issue, and I feel sorry for them, because I know that this is just a small part of what the pharmacy board does.
Representative Uglum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A little bit of a question on the chemistry there. Was I looking at some of the core groups that you were talking about being core groups of benzenes, naphthas, and phenols, and things like that, or that are known carcinogens on some of your the designer drugs there?
Could you please repeat?
Okay, am I looking at here on some of these, shall we say, core formulations of these synthetic drugs being a base of, benzene, naphtha, and phenol groups?
Yes, Stevens. Mr. Chair, Representative, there are some benzyl groups here. Yes.
And Representative Uglum.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and that's a known carcinogen, correct?
Ms. Stevens.
Mr. Chair, Representative. Some benzyl group could be labeled as carcinogen.
Okay. Representative Obama.
Mr. Chair. So then the idea behind the initial laws that you were talking about, where we were outlawing the core structures to keep these guys from formulating off the core, is there any way that you could outlaw them based on health aspects and carcinogens and things like that?
Ms. Stevens.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't think I'm in a position.
Like that?
Ms. Stevens.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't think I'm in a position to answer that question.
All right. Well, just a thought. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay.
Representative Kelly Mullery and Schoen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Director, you had some good comments, great segue into my question. And Ms. Stevens, I think I heard you say that the previous bill that we passed was actually a good bill and had an effect. And I guess from what I've seen over the years here, instead of maybe feeding our insatiable appetite for control and to try and define everything around here, it appears to me that we maybe need to relinquish some of that and go to the people specifically who are the experts. And certainly, Ms. Stevens, you would be one. So my question is, Are there, in your opinion, then, things that we can do to that bill that relieves some of those pressures by giving you actually more leeway in defining those?
Ms. Stevens?
Mr. Chair, Representative, right now I can't really think of any of what we could do, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Dolish?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kelly, other than to do what we've done in the past, and that it just as these compounds come along, add them, it would be nice if the expedited rulemaking worked in such a way that it really was quicker, but as it turns out, I'm not sure that it is. We've been trying to, just like you said, we've been trying to think of other ways to approach this, and other than adding to the list, I think somebody has introduced a bill either here or in the Senate to do just that, and I don't remember what the, okay.
Representative Kelly.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I guess my point being that it seemed like a lot of the questions were geared towards how do we keep defining and redefining and redefining, as opposed to just allowing, like I say, in my opinion, the experts that, work with us on a daily basis, just a little more control and, power to be able to solve the problems that they're dealing with. Thank you.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to confirm I spent 2 hours with Mr. Weiberg a few weeks ago, and Mr. Dolish just briefly touched on it. The real problem is not defining it. Representative Kelly asked about ways to define it, and that's not the problem. It's the problem that they have to prove that it causes the problem. And so I don't think they or anybody's come up with that. I guess the feds, he told me the feds have the same problem, is how do they can define it quickly, the new thing that's the same with just a little thing changed, but they can't prove that the causes. And but the other bill is they also found out it was quicker just to come here this year, and so that's why I'm carrying the bill, adding the substances that they would be doing through rulemaking if it was quicker. They found it's quicker to come here.
Representative Schoen.
Mr. Chair, and I, you know, I kind of want to echo what Representative Kelly said. The process that we have, I think, was set up pretty well with the Board of Pharmacy bringing this forward. And I mean, they're the ones that we're going to go to in the first place. But I kind of look at this in the same respects as, let's say, anhydrous pneumonia. If you're from Greater Minnesota, you know exactly what that is, and if you're from anywhere, you know what that is, because it's all used for growing corn, and it's used for making methamphetamine. And we were able to figure out a way to say if you have anhydrous ammonia in a cooler to make methamphetamine, that's a felony, because you've got a product that's used for the manufacturing of methamphetamine. I'm curious, and maybe Mr. Chair or even Representative Cornish, who also has chaired this committee, can answer, how or anybody, what do we do? I mean, the next that we do, have we ever engaged the Attorney General and said, these people are selling poison on purpose? They know it. They know full well what they're doing. We're beating our head against the wall. What's the next step? What's the different? What road do we got to take next to try to prevent this? And I don't know if anybody has any suggestions or just wants to listen to me rant about it. That's fine too. But this is bad. And we certainly have got to maybe take a different direction that we haven't taken.
Well, I just like, and I don't know, I don't have an answer for you. I know that since I've been here, it's been a perennial issue. I was here during the meth battles when we tried to, you know, figure out that, and we can look to the incarceration rates, that we have huge spikes in our prisons for drug-related offenses, and, you know, it... you know, historically, if you look at the issue of drugs and alcohol, you know, we're not going to stamp it out. I think Representative Savick and Representative Ward probably had the best solution, that we need to be focusing more on intervention and prevention and education, and if someone has some novel ideas on prosecuting some of these folks, I think we ought, you know, we ought to take a look at it. But, you know, in my opinion, our war on drugs has been a miserable failure, and I don't suspect we're gonna win too many battles in the long run. And you can see the science has outpaced what we can even do. But if you have some ideas, I really do appreciate Representative Simonson bringing the issue to me so we could have this informational meeting. I don't know that we have a solution for Duluth, but we have a few more minutes left if anyone has any comments or ideas about where to go next. Representative Cornish.
I think that the frustration is running up against the Constitution in the United States, and what I strongly adhere to myself, but the problem is like Representative Lesh says, we can't just willy-nilly put anything we want on there, and we can't make the wording that says that anything that makes you high is illegal, and we can't pass real vague loitering laws to keep people off the street. I mean, we run up against the Constitution there, how far we can go to keep people from the front of the business, so it's really frustrating to try to find a solution with and then still obey all of the parameters set forth by the Constitution, too. So I don't know really what we do right now, but I really would like to explore the county attorneys. Hopefully that's not the weak link where everybody's saying handing off to one and handing off the other and not doing anything and worrying about number of defendants and costs, but we'll see.
We'll leave Representative Simonson get the last word here. Again, thank you for bringing your folks down, and thank you all to the Duluth folks for making the drive down.
I want to thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing us what has consumed the entire committee this morning, but I do think it's an important issue, and I just want to speak to the point that what I didn't want to do is come forward with a bill without having this conversation first, because I don't know the answer either, but I do know that I think there's a lot of smart people that sit around this table, and we should be able to come up with something using the resources that we have that can take a step in the right direction. And clearly, this is a big problem for my community, but clearly it's a big problem for the entire state. So as we move forward, and I agree with Representative Cornish and his comments about the county attorneys, and we need to get that feedback, because we need to figure out what we can do and how we do it, and I'm willing to work with anybody around the table to get that done. So as we move forward into the future, I look forward to that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.